Kia ora, and welcome to Amaranth's Podcast, episode 216. And today I learned a new skill, how to make the sound of radio static with my teeth. You may have noticed that I didn't start today with a date, and there's a reason for that, which I'll tell you about shortly. But first, I am in recovery mode, which means I'm getting over my cold, finally. Well, I still am a little bit chesty and a bit snuffly, and my voice is a bit croaky, and sometimes I just don't feel all that great. But I am in recovery mode. No, seriously, I was really bad over the weekend. I was sneezing a lot and coughing a lot, and by Monday, my diaphragm was really sore from all the coughing. But that part is all past, and it's just sometimes just feeling not quite right. So, but I guess the important thing is that I'm on the mend. I'm in recovery mode and will soon be back to my normal self, I hope. But this has been a busy week. Yeah, so what's new, right? On Tuesday, I took the car in for its service. No, that's not a repeat of last episode. I take my car in for its service, which it turns out is done annually. And like last week, the car was due at 8:30. I was about 15 minutes late. But last week, the car was supposed to be due at noon, and this time it was supposed to be due at 12:55, 1 p.m. basically, and I thought that's too long to wait. And just like last week, I asked if it was likely to be ready on time or early or whatever, and they're, oh, I don't know. So I thought, bugger it. So I had them give me a ride home, and sure enough, at 10 a.m., I got a call saying that the car would be ready in about a half an hour, and then about 10:30 or so, I did get a call saying the car was done, and they ended up collecting me about quarter after 11 to come and get the car and pay for it, of course. So it took even less time than the first one did last week, and I could have waited for it if I'd only known, which would have, I suppose it would have saved me some time. But in the end, it didn't matter, because what I also did on Tuesday was I spent hours talking with Daniel Brewer on Skype, trying to work out the schedule for Pride 48. I haven't been talking a whole lot about Pride 48 in detail, but for those who don't remember, Pride 48 is, well, it's a streaming website at pride48.com, but it also is leading up to a live 48-hour podcasting marathon, June 25 through 27 in North America, in the Americas. It's actually the 26th through the 28th here in New Zealand, Australia, the UK for that matter. But anyway, in the weeks leading up to that, Pride 48 has gone 24/7, broadcasting primarily recorded podcasts and a few live shows. There are a few regular live shows on there as well. And it streams starting about 10 a.m. in the morning throughout the evening and into the night. And then from 2-ish, 3-ish in the morning or thereabouts, Creative Commons music plays up until the schedule starts again at 10 a.m. These times are all Eastern Daylight Time, by the way. Well, we finally got that schedule all done after all those hours and got that posted. And that was that, which means obviously I didn't have time to record anything on Tuesday, which had been my plan. So then I thought I would record yesterday. And for a variety of reasons, I just didn't get to it, which is not unusual. But all of that has got to change. And that is why I didn't mention the date today. The podcasts that are participating in Pride 48 are being played on pride48.com. The recorded episodes are. And mine are on twice a week, which means, first of all, that I need to get back to my twice weekly schedule or the same show is going to repeat twice. And that would be boring. So I'm going to get back to my normal schedule. However, it's possible I may miss a show, and one of the shows is repeated on Saturday afternoons, North American time. And so I don't want to, have it too terribly dated, especially because the content of my podcast isn't necessarily specific to one day or week even necessarily. Sometimes it is, but generally it isn't. And so I'm just going to not say the date. I'm just going to say the episode number up until the end of June anyway. And so that's that. Now, in the unlikely event you want to listen to these again, they are available on Tuesdays at 6 p.m. God, I can't see the schedule. Let me rephrase that. They are available Tuesday and Thursday at 6 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time on pride48.com. And there's also a show at 11 a.m. on Saturday. Again, that's Eastern Daylight Time. Now, what shows they are, I don't know. They may vary from time to time. But hopefully, at least the Tuesday and Thursday ones will be different. And the Saturday one will probably be a repeat of the Thursday one. But who knows? It's just not known what I'm going to end up doing. That's part of the surprise and the thrill of the surprise of Pride48.com. The event is coming along nicely. We're still about 38, 39 shows participating, if I remember correctly. And there may be some more coming in. There will probably be some dropping out before the actual event. But it's all going along well, and very soon we're going to be drawing up the schedule for the actual weekend. I just don't want to do it too far in advance because there may be people coming in before then, and I want to give people as much chance as possible to get in and participate before we start dividing up the schedule. So that's what's going on with that. Now, there's a couple of things in the news I wanted to tell you about. First of all, this came to me by way of gayandzed.com, and the headline in the story was, Census May Become More Trans-Friendly. The New Zealand census is conducted every 5 years, and our next one, I believe, is next year. I'm almost certain it's next year. And, well, I'll just read the first few paragraphs of the story, because I think it's actually kind of interesting. It says, Census guidelines may be changed so transgender people can record their new sex instead of the gender they were born in. In a draft document, Statistics New Zealand, which is the agency overseeing it, says a person who has undergone sex reassignment should be classified to that sex, while a person who was of indeterminate sex who has undergone sex assignment surgery should be classified to that sex. The proposal says someone who is currently undergoing such procedures and living as the sex that they are taking steps toward becoming would be classified as that sex. So in other words, it's very trans-friendly. The proposal. And one of the things I find interesting about this is that there's likely to be very little feedback at all on it. And I don't expect there's going to be a whole lot of controversy. It's just kind of like, oh yeah, okay, whatever. So that's kind of interesting. Actually, speaking of GANZ.com, they're up for a Qantas Media Award for their investigative reports of that man who was alleged to have deliberately infected people with HIV. And so, you know, I certainly hope they win that. That would be a very good feather in their cap. The Qantas Media Awards are the premier media journalism awards in New Zealand. There's separate categories, but they cover print as well as broadcast, both TV and radio. I'm not sure what websites fall under, but probably print, I guess. But anyway, now, there's a couple things in the news I wanted to tell you about. And first, backing up a little bit, I just wanted to share this with you just in case I'm proven right. And that's that there is a possibility that the National Party, which is currently leading the government, may be moving toward a snap election. And I'll tell you why I think this. The Crown, the government, had been negotiating with one of the Māori Iwi, which is a tribe called Tūhoe, about traditional grievances. And as I've talked about before, the several tribes have been negotiating with the Crowns over grievances dating back a century or more, well, more than a century, based on the Treaty of Waitangi. And this process goes through this thing that's called the Waitangi Tribunal. They negotiate it, and then the Crown signs off, and that's that. It's resulted in some land being returned to various iwi, or cash payments, or something. Various things, depending on the tribe and the nature of the grievance. Well, Tūhoe wanted this land in the national park returned to them as one of their bottom-line issues. And suddenly, about a week or so ago, the Prime Minister announced that that wasn't going to happen. It was off the table. Well, supposedly, the Crown and the iwi were just about ready to release a agreement in principle, which included transfer of ownership of the national park. What had happened behind the scenes, or coincidentally, is that the Prime Minister had attended his party's national conference, that weekend, and the conservative members of his party, which is probably most of them, were extremely upset with his government, because they thought it was giving too much to Māori and making too many concessions to the Māori Party. So, the next day, pretty much, the Prime Minister suddenly reversed course. He did tell the co-leader of the Māori Party, and the next day he said that, oh yeah, she knew about it, she was fine with it. Well, that simply wasn't true. And they went ballistic. So this week, this past weekend, they apparently were considering whether or not they even wanted to continue their relationship with the government. Now, if the Maori Party withdrew, it wouldn't be the end of the government because National doesn't need them to govern. They have the Neoconservative ACT Party as well. However, it wouldn't be a good look. Now, National's got a lot of things coming up that may be a problem for them. On October 1st, it's November 1st, the new Auckland City comes into being, but in October are the elections for that. And over the months following, there will be a lot of turmoil as the eight councils that currently make up the Auckland region emerged into one city. And there's going to be a lot of disenchantment and anger directed toward National, being the party that brought this about. But in particular, the Neoconservative ACT Party. And it is only in Parliament because its leader, Rodney Hyde, has won the Epsom electorate. It's entirely possible, maybe even probable, that he will lose that seat if the election is held as planned in roughly November of 2011. So, my thinking goes, it may be in the government's best interest to go to the polls early, before all the turmoil over Auckland can set in, the amalgamation of Auckland can set in, so that they've got a better chance of being able to retain government. And they could use the problems with the Maori Party as an excuse to go to the polls. Well, then today, well, actually it was yesterday, one of the ministers posted a press release on the government website blasting the Neoconservative ACT Party over its, what they're calling the contradictory positions on emissions trading scheme. And so I'm thinking, okay, maybe they're really setting the stage. But they also passed an Electoral Reform Act, which is supposed to be in place before the next election, which is next year. So that suggests that they're not going to do it. And then today, they just released their budget, the details of the 2010 budget. And that could be a problem for them as well. My theory now is that they're going to wait and see how the polling goes based on this budget. If the polling looks bad, they're going to stick it out and hope that they can bring it around. If the polling looks good, then they will go to the polls early. So that's my new prediction. My revised prediction, you could say. The budget contains a lot of tax cuts for the rich and not much for ordinary New Zealanders. I've talked before about how the government is raising GST, goods and services tax, from 12.5% to 15%, which will affect poor and working New Zealanders much more than rich New Zealanders. Now, they claim that a typical family with two children and an average household income of about $76,000 will be a whopping $25 a week better off. But those who are on lower incomes will not be better off because, not just because their incomes are lower, but also because GST hike will affect them harder than it will the people who are richer. So I'm still a bit dubious. They've also cut the company tax rate from 30% to 28%, which is basically to try to keep in line with Australia, which is cutting their company tax as well. And they're reducing the income tax brackets for everyone, and the top one in particular is going down rather substantially, from 38% to 33%. And there's a whole bunch of other changes, some of which are quite sensible and overdue, some of which are a bit, oh? So I watched the finance minister deliver the budget to Parliament today, and I have to say it wasn't exactly an inspiring speech. But then the leader of the opposition, the Labour Party leader, Phil Goff, got up to deliver his party's response, and the National Party MPs were whooping and hollering and shouting and carrying on so you could barely even hear Phil Goff. And I have to say that when the finance minister was delivering the budget, the Labour benches, the opposition benches in general, were quiet and reasonably respectful. The National Party people absolutely were not, to the point where even I couldn't hear what Phil Goff was saying half the time, and I wasn't in the chamber. So this went back and forth. The Prime Minister then spoke and just did a pep rally for his troops, essentially. And then eventually they had the co-leader of the Green Party speak, and he, I have to say, was the only one of the major parties to talk about the issues the budget raised without just trying to score political points at the expense of the other side. It's like National and Labour were talking to each other, or at each other, and the Green Party was talking to New Zealand. And I'm not a supporter of the Green Party. Don't misunderstand me. I have a lot of issues with them. But it did impress me that they were the only one of the three biggest parties who were talking issues rather than personalities, I suppose that's the best way to put it. And I looked on their website the other day about their economic proposals, and they're actually far more sensible than some that both the two parties are suggesting. But, I mean, theoretically, we're more than a year away from the next election. So, you know, the other parties could adopt some of them, although Labor is more likely to adopt them than National is, obviously. But, no, these are just some things that were coming up in the news, and today especially. And so I wanted to sort of share that, and also the prediction of what might happen in the months ahead, or weeks even. And I wanted to mention that now, just in case I'm right. Of course, if I'm wrong, I'll never mention it again. I'm lying. Of course I'll mention it. But speaking of politics, and this isn't actually a political thing. This is just kind of an interesting thing. I was listening to the Rachel Maddow show the other day, and I heard this at the very end.
I have a quick apology to make. At the end of the first segment of tonight's show, when I was thanking Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders, something happened to me. I did something I never do, and I have no idea why I did it. I called him Bernie. Not Senator Sanders, not Senator, not Sir, but Bernie, like we hang out. I already conveyed my apologies to Senator Sanders' office. He said he didn't mind that everybody calls him Bernie, but I'm still totally mortified. So again, I'm sorry to Senator Sanders and to you. Standards! Jeez, sorry.
Now here's why this caught my ears. And that's because here in New Zealand, journalists almost never refer to a politician by their title, or they don't call them Sir or Mr. or Mrs. whatever. They call them by their first name or the first and second name. Now, when they're introduced, they may say, and joining us now is Prime Minister John Key, but then they will go on and say, John, welcome to the show. They call them as, they treat them as people. And that's certainly true of ordinary members of parliament. But it's always been true, as far as I know, at least since I've been in New Zealand, for the Prime Minister, leader of the opposition, and people like that. They just treat them as just another person who happens to have this elective position. And I think some of that has to do with the New Zealand psyche, which is really different from what I'm used to in the U.S., which is that people, politicians are just ordinary people, and they're just treated as ordinary people. They're not treated as something special. They're not treated as these, you know, high revered figures. And it's not that they're treated with contempt, because by the media they're not, but they are treated directly. They ask them far more direct questions than you'll ever hear on an American journalism show. There is nothing I've ever seen on an American show to compare with the way politicians get treated by the media here in New Zealand. And it's the first time I've seen that kind of jarring thing that Rachel Maddow felt that she had to apologize for calling Bernie Sanders Bernie, whereas in New Zealand that would just be expected, and it would be weird to refer to somebody as she was talking about referring to the senator. So that's just a concrete example of the difference between New Zealand and the U.S. when it comes to elected officials. But now I'm going to go on to comments. And to start things off, I have a phone comment.
Hello, this is Roger Green from RogerOGreen.com. And I wanted to note, Arthur, I was watching Grey's Anatomy, of all things, the other day. And doctors are always overriding the wishes of the family, particularly with things like DNRs, do not resuscitate requests. Family may want to keep the person alive for years, and doctors, usually going through a whole bunch of machinations, do stand by the DNR, because that is the wish of the soon-to-be deceased. So, anyway, I'll have other things to write to you about Twinkies, but I'll keep. Like Twinkies do, actually. Bye.
Well, thanks for that, Roger. And of course, I'm glad to see that Roger is using his URL, his brand shiny new URL, RogerOGreen.com. Do check out his blog, by the way. He's one of the most interesting bloggers that I know. Writes about a whole variety of subjects, which is probably what keeps it interesting and doesn't get locked into one subject area like I tend to do. So do check that out. But thanks for the call, Roger. And you're absolutely right. When it comes to DNRs, the hospitals usually do try to act on the patient's wishes, especially if they're in writing. Well, I guess it would be only if they're in writing, because they, at that time, are still considered to be acting on behalf of the patient. Now, if the family goes and gets the patient declared, what would the word be, incompetent, I suppose, or whatever, and they get medical authority, then it gets more complicated. And, of course, in extreme cases, we can see what happens when blood family fights over somebody, as we did in the case of Terry Schiavo. But as a general rule, if a patient makes their wishes expressly known in advance, then the hospital will usually follow along with those wishes, even going to court if necessary to enforce them, because they consider themselves acting in the interests of the patient. It just gets dicier once you get to the organ donation stage, because you know the person's died, and then they're dealing with grieving relatives, not just relatives. So it gets to be, well, I suppose you could potentially be dealing with soon-to-be grieving relatives otherwise. But anyway, but thanks for that, Roger, and that is a very good point. Over on the written comments, Montpazant said, in assessing the passing of memories via transplanted organs, especially the heart, as spiritual, you are making too many assumptions about how memory works. Memory in the body is not necessarily stored only in a metaphorical hard drive somewhere in the brain. There's evidence suggesting that the heart and immune system are also part of the nervous system. Even with nervous system proper, we've long known that lower level parts of physical skills become stored along the spinal cord. Brain response time is too slow. Pulling your hand away from the hot stove, or the finger movements for playing Flight of the Bumblebee, can't depend on the results from a distant supercomputer buffered in spinal nerve clumps. I don't know. Perhaps some feelings really are stored in the heart. Well, thank you for that, Maupassant. And you're right. There's a whole lot about the body that we just don't know. And I'm not suggesting that there is no such thing as memories transferred in transplanted organs or whatever. And I'm not saying that they do exist either, because I just don't know. I suppose it's a bit like religion. I don't know if there is a God or not. But I'm not saying there isn't. And I'm not saying there is, because I just don't know. And it's a bit like that, I suppose. As a general rule, this is sort of about me in general, I tend to believe in things that science can test and verify and retest if need be, and continue to test and try out. Where this is the sort of stuff that at the present time, we don't have any technology, any capability for measuring, any way to find out what's going on with these potential memories. And so because of that, I tend to suspect that they may not exist. But that doesn't mean to say that I completely discount the possibility, because it is a possibility. Right. That's pretty much it for this week. Just do remember that the podcast can now be heard on pride48.com. And I am going to be now having to do two episodes a week. And part of that is because I've been trying to get the other people in Pride 48 to keep releasing new content. And I can't very well urge them to do it if I'm not doing it myself. It wouldn't be right. It just wouldn't be right. So I am going to try to get back to doing two podcasts a week. I hope. And also, oil my chair. I'm tired of that squeaking. Anyway, before I go, just a few little bits and pieces. There's some birthdays recently that I failed to acknowledge. There's Auntie Vera Charles from Vera Speaks For Real. There was Steve in the UK OK, who turned the big 4-0. Ooh, sorry, Steve. And also Kim Beaver just had her birthday. But also on a more sad note, there was the end of Go Rainbow Radio from Tim Carmel, which was pretty much a dance music podcast. And I quite enjoyed it, but Tim decided after 205 episodes and nearly 4 years that enough was enough. And, of course, I completely understand that, because I always say to people, you know, podcast as long as it's fun, and if it stops being fun, it's time to stop. So I certainly respect his decision, but I'm going to miss the show and wish him well with his other podcasts, which are called There Are Some Who Call Me Tim, and also Meat Free Radio, which I subscribe to, but frankly don't actually listen to. Ooh, it's naughty, I suppose, but I'm an omnivore, so I tend not to listen to that. But I want to support Tim, so I subscribe. Well, anyway, I won't go there. I was going to talk about podcasts that I subscribe to and don't listen to, but ooh, I'd get myself into trouble for that one, and I better not go there. So that's it for today. I will be back next week with two podcasts, And I also have a two political podcast in the can. Well, actually, my part of it is I haven't received Jason's file yet. But I will be editing that furiously over the next day or two and be posting that soon. So that will also be available for your listening pleasure shortly. That's it for today. That's it for this week. I will talk to you again next week. Have a great weekend, everybody. Bye. You can leave a comment on this or any other episode of the Amrens Podcast at amrenspodcast.com. You can send an email to me at Arthur, that's A-R-T-H-U-R, at amrenspodcast.com, or you can ring my U.S. comment line on 206-666-5172. This podcast is produced and distributed under Creative Commons license. Complete details at the website. Hi, my name's Arthur.
And my name's Jason.
And we're the hosts of Too Political, a podcast in which two old friends talk about politics, the news, and whatever else we think of. You know, we've been friends for a long time.
Yes, a very long time.
We've always talked about news and current events.
We've been going on like this for years. Now you can listen in.
You can find us on iTunes or go to our website, twopolitical.com. That's the number twopolitical.com. What's that name again?
Too Political. Too Political.